Hey, this is Todd. I'm in Prospect Park today. I wanted to talk about hex mapping. I thought the park was a good place to have the conversation because a park, a place like this with differing sort of micro habitats within it, help illustrate the strengths and weaknesses of hex mapping, what it can do for you, what it costs you in a sense, and the things you have to be aware of when using them. So enjoy the footage of the park, and let's get on to talking about hex maps. If you're not aware, a hex map is an abstract representation of terrain using symbols written on a grid that's made of hexes. Usually, there's one symbol per hex grid space. For example, if you were looking at a hex map representation of hills, there would be a single hill symbol written on that hex, and that would say there are hills here. Now, the key thing to think about when you're looking at a hex map with a hill symbol is that it does not mean that the only thing in this hex are hills. What it means is that hills are the dominant terrain type within that hex. That's an important distinction to keep in mind because when, as GMs, we're looking into that hex, we can't just look at it and say, okay, a hex with hills means that this particular hex is 6 miles of hills, just back to back to back hills. I suppose it could be, there could be an instance where there's nothing but hills in a hex or nothing but trees in a forest hex. But generally speaking, what we're thinking about when we're looking at a hex map is if we had taken a satellite view of this area of our world, zoomed out with low resolution, what is the dominant thing that we see? If it's trees, that's a forest. If it's plains, that's plains. If it's hills, that's hills, so on and so forth. But the abstraction with hexes is very useful because there are lots of shortcuts, and I'll link to some articles that can go into the math behind hexes. But there's a lot of shortcuts we can use for things like traveling that become handy and very easy and not time-consuming to calculate when using hexes. So for example, if I'm using a 6-mile hex, just to throw one out there, the easiest one, if I'm in the center of one 6-mile hex and I want to move to the center of the next 6-mile hex, as a crow flies, that's 6 miles. So now I know that if my party is more or less in the center of one hex and they want to get more or less the center of another hex, that without taking into account difficulty of traveling over terrain, I can say, well, that's about a 6-mile journey. And when I say about, that's another important thing, because a hex map is all about approximations, not just the approximate contents of the hex, but also when we're using it to calculate things like distances and those locations and how far something is from something else or where something is within the hex, what we're doing is we're leaning on the fact that we're not looking for precision. We're leaning in on using that abstraction to our benefit. For games like Dungeons & Dragons and other sort of fantasy-type games or games that take place where you don't have GPS, that we don't need to be necessarily have an exact location within a number of feet, right? We really just need to know that, okay, here's a 6-mile area, and about the middle of it is this old crumbling tower. How long is it going to get there? Well, if they're traveling from the edge to the middle, let's say I think it's 3 miles. So there you go, 3 miles. And then I can push that up or down depending on what is the terrain like. Is it difficult? Is that going to slow things down? But the idea is that I'm not worried about knowing to the meter, to the foot, exactly where the tower is. The fact that it's in that hex in about the middle is about all I care about. And it doesn't even have to be in the middle. Depending on the type of GM you are, the type of mind you have, that may be something that's very freeing to you. The fact that, oh my gosh, I don't need to know exactly where it is. I don't need to know that it's precisely 3.24 miles away. I could just say, yeah, it's more or less 3 miles or more or less between 3 or 4 miles, and that's good. Some types of people are going to find that immensely freeing. Other types of people are going to be frustrated by that. I remember trying to talk to someone about asking how theater of the mind combat could work, and I was trying to explain all about these approximations that you make in that level too. Well, you're not going to know anybody really that you're exactly 30 feet away, but it's close enough. 30 feet plus or minus, and we just call it as read that you're about that distance. And to some people that is very easy, and for some people that's a barrier. If it's a barrier to you, then maybe hex maps aren't a good tool for you to use, or you need to come to grips with the fact that you can't look at a 6-mile hex representation of a map and know precisely where everything is. You're just going to know that, oh, there's a town symbol there. The town is somewhere in that hex. oh, there's a forest symbol in there, then the forest is going to more or less fill most of that hex, or at least more of that hex than anything else, but it's not going to give you the exact border of where that forest starts and ends and where the plains next to it start or end. It's all approximations. But if you can take advantage of that, or if you can wrap your mind about that, it allows you to do a lot of things at the table that might be tedious or time-consuming otherwise. A hex map's strengths lay within that abstraction. Your ability to look at a hex map and eyeball and approximate different things relating to distance and location are very helpful at the table. They don't require a lot of game stoppages to figure out math because the approximations are good enough. That is the level of accuracy that we're looking for from the hex map, is it good enough? What a hex map won't help you with is filling in the details of those hexes. So for example, if I look at Prospect Park, which I'm filming in right now, we can see that I may determine that for the hex that encompasses Prospect Park, that it's forest. But obviously, moving through the park and looking at, there's a lot of actually different terrain within this forest. It is not just wall-to-wall trees. We have a pond or lake, small lake over here. We have a road. We have paths. We've got open little grassy areas. There's a prominent hill that runs through the park, or the park runs along a hill. There's all sorts of little micro-environments within here, and those are not going to be represented in your hex. Your hex is just going to have that tree symbol for forest. When your party enters the hex, or when you need to delve in and get inside there, then you're going to have to provide that extra detail. One thing that I think trips up GMs when they're running hex crawls, or they are using hex maps and going to the hex, is that they don't have that inspiration for the interior of these hexes. So when the party's moving through a forest, the GM just kind of paints it as an endless amount of woods, because that's what the hex map has. The hex map shows woods, so that's what's in there, that's woods. But we have to remember that the woods are only the most dominant feature in the hex. So when we go in there, we either have to use our imagination or references from locations that we know or tables to generate the interiors of those hexes, because, yeah, as a party, if you're just traveling through woods and it's nothing but woods with no features, it's going to feel monotonous. It's going to feel monotonous to you as the GM describing it. It's going to feel monotonous to the players who are playing through it. I've mentioned Ready Reference Sheets, which was a product by Judges Guild back in the 70s. It's available digitally, I'm 99% sure, on drive-through. I have an amazing number of tables towards the back of the book that go into a lot of detail and help fill out those interiors. Things from water features to flora and fauna to other sorts of major things, whether there's valleys or whether there's hills, whether there's any kind of different terrain. I mentioned references a minute ago. That's a good one to use. So if I was running my party through an area and I thought, yeah, that's a lot like the park, I can use the park in my mind to then describe what it's like, given that, okay, it is mostly forest, but there are openings, there's a river, there's a lake, and there's a path that walks along the lake, and it goes up into the trees, and all these different things that I can use to help flesh out the hex, because the hex is just giving you that broad overview. It's just giving you that really high-level, top-down view. And when you only need it for that top-down view, it's very useful. When you need to drill it down in there, you need to provide that extra detail. The hex map is not going to help you with that, and potentially it could be an actual obstacle to that, depending on how your mind works. If you don't find that being able to improv that or think about that off the top of your head is one of your strengths, then if you're going to use hex maps, you need to keep that in mind and supplement your maps with things to create those details, because the hex map doesn't have it. What the hex map is giving you is that satellite view. But having that satellite view is very useful. And often you don't need all that extra detail. A lot of that detail, maybe 90% of the time, is totally extraneous. So what the hex map does is, by removing that detail, by looking at everything in a simple, high-level abstraction, it takes away what is essentially a distraction. It has no space for on the map, so that frees you to not having to worry about it. If you're someone that gets caught up trying to model every little piece of your continent, and that can become extremely fulfilling, but also you could find that it's a never-ending process. Maybe if you just looked at it at a hex map sort of level and just say, let me just broad brush what's there, you'll find that that really crystallizes a lot for you, because then you're not worrying about every little dip in the trail, every little feature, where exactly does this end and what is exactly here. You're really only worried with that, it's about here or there. And when, if they ever get to this area, then I'll delve into it, but if they're not going to get into there, I don't need to worry about, so I won't. Obviously, if you're running a hex crawl, and that's going to be a major part of your adventure, then coming to grips with a hex map is important, because that's going to be the potentially the really main means of looking at the world, as opposed to maybe when someone needs it for moving from one dungeon to the other. If you're going to be doing a lot of overland travel, that hex map is your main resource. So make it your friend and put together the things that you will need to help flesh it out when you need to, because I think that's probably the biggest downfall people have with using hex maps, is that they tend to look at the terrain as being very monochromatic or overly defined by the symbol on the hex map. The symbol on the hex map is merely the dominant feature, so feel free to play around with what's inside of it. One handy shortcut I like to use is, if you're looking at a hex, look at the hexes around it, and really each one of those hexes is really a mix of those things, merely with one thing more dominant than the other. So for example, if I had a hill and on the hexes on one side were plains and the hexes on the other side were forest, then that gives me a natural inclination to think that this middle hex is partially wooded, partially clear. Now it might mean that the hills, some of them are wooded, some of them are clear. It might be that the woods, the hills themselves are clear, but there's maybe some woods along one side of the bases. There's many ways that can be fleshed out, but that would be my first, looking at it, my first instinct would be, okay, this hex has at least one hill in it, or the hill is, if it's one hill, then it's probably a big hill, because again, we're looking at what's the most dominant characteristic of this hex, or it's a number of smaller hills, and there's going to be a mixture of plains and woods. By the same token, looking at the woods hexes, I would do the same thing. So there's a hill on one side that there's probably either the beginning of the rise of the hill or maybe some little hillocks, and then spreading out in the forest. But of course, among all these things, there could be little creeks, small rills. If it's a major water source like a river, that would probably be on the hex map, but anything smaller, streams, creeks, that could be there. Maybe there's some swampy areas. If I'm looking at hills, maybe I'm thinking, okay, there's a valley, so maybe there's a little creek or something that flows through the valley, and then I can even look further. So if we take that creek, go through, maybe in the plains area, there's kind of a swampy area that's kind of snuck into. Not enough of it to turn the whole hex into a swamp hex, but there's some swamp there. So you kind of look around and organically try to build out what's in front. Obviously, if you're doing this, you want to take note of it somehow so that if you're coming back to these areas later, there's a consistency through how you're doing it. But very often, you know, by the time players ever come back to the space, it's long past, unless you're really running a campaign where they're going over areas over and over again. How often is a party going to go through a single hex? It probably doesn't matter so much how you describe it in any one encounter with the hex, because that may be the only time they ever enter that hex in your campaign, which is another reason why it's helpful to lay the details aside for the one, because you may end up detailing a bunch of stuff you're never going to need. So just use a hex map, give it that low resolution detail, and only fill it in when you need it. Well, that's hex maps for you. I hope that was useful. I plan to get soon onto more hex crawling videos, but I did want to touch upon hex maps because hex maps, I think, have more applications than just in hex crawls. I think they can be useful all over the place. So I wanted to touch on them and do a quick video about that. But get ready for more, and I will talk to you later.